All right, 2 Corinthians 13. Now, many at Corinth were examining Paul, and they were seeking a proof of Christ speaking in Paul. You know, these false apostles had given them reason to doubt. And so now they began to examine Paul. They were trying to find a proof that Christ was speaking in Paul. He said there in verse 3, "You seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, which towards you is not weak, but is mighty." And Paul says, if you want proof that Christ is speaking in me, you want proof He's speaking mightily through me, through my preaching. He says in verse 5, "Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith." Prove your own selves. The real test that Christ is working mightily in His preacher is by examining ourselves to see whether or not through that preaching Christ has called us into the faith and continues to feed us and teach us and correct us in our hearts through the gospel. He calls you and He gives you a real living union with Christ. It's not the fake thing that you get in religion. It's a true living union that you have with Christ. Now, all through the first and second epistles of Corinthians, Paul's been declaring that God saves through preaching. Because this was one of the key mistakes they were making at Corinth. They were turning from Christ's true preachers preaching the gospel. They're putting trust in men. And they were, some of them were even saying they were saved of Christ. They were saved without ever hearing the gospel. And Paul declares throughout these two epistles, that's wrong. That's wrong. You're not saved by men. You're not saved without hearing the gospel. Through the preaching of the gospel, Christ is formed in His people and God calls us into faith. This is God's Word. This is God's Word. Now first, I want you to note in verse 5, He says, "Examine yourselves, prove your own selves." No man can examine and prove you but you. And no man can examine me and prove me but me. Scripture says, "What man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him?" I only know what's in me, you only know what's in you. And then as I examine myself, I'm to be honest with myself. Be honest. I'm not in the faith. If I'm not in the faith, now's the time to repent and cast my care on Christ. I don't want to wait till I face death and judgment. Now's the time. So be honest. And then also, if I examine myself and find that I've got control over my sin and I'm getting more and more holy by my works and I'm just a whole lot better than I used to be, you've missed it. You're not in the faith. Because that's not what we're looking for. We examine ourselves by God's Word, and we see how God saves, where He brings us. And we're not looking for those kinds of things. We're looking for Christ, how God saved. Now, if I'm troubled when I examine myself and begin to think to see maybe I'm not in the faith. If I'm troubled and I become truly, truly troubled in my heart, I need to consider this may just be God chastening me. Listen to this. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11:31, "If we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world." That's a great blessing. It's a great blessing that God is not going to allow His children to perish. So if I get troubled, and that goes for any message I hear, if I'm troubled by that message, you know, rather than shoot the messenger, I need to consider this may be reason to rejoice. This may be God chastening me to turn me and save me so that I don't perish with the world. That's a great blessing, brethren. So as painful as the chastening may be, it's for my good. And then one last thing on this first point. Some insist that a believer cannot know with assurance that he's in the faith until he meets God. Some think that you can't know for certain until you meet God. The Spirit of God would not tell us to examine ourselves whether we be in the faith if it was not possible to know. He wouldn't tell us that. In fact, John 14:20, Christ said, "At that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you." You shall know. 1 John 2:3, "Hereby we do know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments." And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. That's the commandment. Believe on His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment. And he that keepeth His commandments dwelleth in Him, and He in him. And hereby we know that He abideth in us by the Spirit which He hath given us. See, being in the faith and having Christ in you is to believe only on Christ, apart from any work you've ever done or will do. It's to believe on Christ. And it's to have a true, genuine, hearty love in your heart for your brethren. That's what it is to be in the faith. So yes, believers are made to know if they are in the faith. God makes us to know it. Now secondly, let's talk about what it is to be in the faith. Now we know we're in the faith by God's Word. That's how we know. Here's the touchstone is God's Word. And when He declares here how He makes His child to be in the faith, who He brings His child to, how He does it, this is how we know we're in the faith. Now, hold your place here in 2 Corinthians 13 and go back with me to 1 Corinthians and let's look at chapter 1. Now, what I'm going to say this morning, for some this is going to be review if you heard the midweek services over the past couple of weeks. But I want to repeat this because it's very important. And so some of this will be review for you. But those at Corinth, now you know they were saying, you know, "I'm of this man," some were saying, "I'm of this other man," and some were saying, "I'm of Christ," meaning they didn't hear the gospel through a man at all. And so Paul is declaring right here and through these epistles that that's not so. That's not so. And he tells here how God saves. He gives us three things by which He calls us into faith. There are three things listed here. All right, number one, God uses preaching. He uses preaching. Now, to the man that perishes, that's foolishness. The man that's perishing, that is foolishness. He thinks it's unnecessary. Now look at verse 18. "The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it's written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent." And he says, where? That is, where in Christ's church is the wise? Where is the scribe? Among Christ's people, where's the independent searcher of Scripture that searched out and found out Christ on his own? Where is he among God's people? Where is the disputer? Where's the debater of this world? In Christ's church, hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Hadn't He made you to see how foolish this world's wisdom is? Yes, He has. In our hearts, this is what He's done. He's brought our wisdom and our prudence to nothing. Verse 21. "For after that in the wisdom of God..." How did He do this? "After that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." Now that's the context of our passage in 2 Corinthians 13. The reason Paul is saying examine yourselves is because God saves through preaching. Christ speaks mightily through His preacher. And He saves through preaching. Hold your place now here in 1 Corinthians 1 and go back to 2 Corinthians 3. 2 Corinthians 3. Let me show you. This is what Paul is saying in our text. This is what he's saying in that verse we just read in 1 Corinthians 1. 2 Corinthians 3, 1. Do we begin again to commend ourselves? Or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you or letters of commendation from you? Ye are our epistle, written in your hearts, in our hearts, known and read of all men, for as much as you are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, that is, through preaching, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. And such trust have we through Christ toward God. Not that we're sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Paul says, God's pleased to save through preaching. And he says here, that's why I don't need a letter of commendation. If God has saved you through my preaching and made you the epistle of Christ and the Spirit of God's written the gospel on your heart, you know that Christ has sent me. You know it. So let me examine myself. And here's the first thing. Did Christ call me into the faith through the preaching of the gospel? God's very purpose in saving through the preaching of the gospel is to, in His child, destroy our understanding and our prudence. Is to take us and make us cease being self-scribes. That's the purpose of a scribe, is a searcher of Scripture. Is to make us cease that. And if God has destroyed that in me, and Christ has become my wisdom, you know what I'll do? I'll bow to this Word of God. I won't bow to my experience. If I won't bow to God's Word, I'm holding on to an experience. I'll bow to God's Word. And I'll say, You have brought me under this gospel, and this is how He saved me. This is how He saved me. And I want you to understand this now. To be in the faith is not a mere feeling of the heart. It's not an assent to an intellect of the intellect. It's not something, just a mere feeling you have, and it's not just giving mental assent to a system of doctrine. That is not faith. The flesh can do that. The flesh can do that. To be in the faith is to be called God's way. And it's for God to form Christ in you and give you a true living union with Christ. And to give you a true heart love for your brethren, constrained by the love of Christ. I can't really explain to you what that is. You just know it when you got it. But it's not just a feeling, and it's not just mental assent to doctrine. It's to know Christ is all your hope, and to rely entirely upon Him. Now, let's go back to 1 Corinthians 1. And this is so, brethren. When you have the unction, when you're born of God through preaching, you have the unction of the Holy Spirit so that you know all things are in Christ. Salvation's all in Christ. So when you're born there, you can't stand hearing lies anymore because that blasphemes God. And Scripture says those born of the Spirit of God can't call Jesus accursed. You can't do it. And you can't sit under messages that's calling Him accursed. And this goes along with our second point here. Number two, God calls His child into the faith using only the preaching of Christ and Him crucified. He uses preaching, but it's not just any preaching. It's the preaching only of Christ and Him crucified in spirit and in truth. Go back there now, 1 Corinthians 1:22. For the Jews require a sign and the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called into the faith, both Greeks and Jews. No matter who you are, when you're called by God into the faith, Christ,
becomes the power of God and the wisdom of God. We cease looking to our power. We cease looking to our wisdom and our searching. Now we know Christ is the power who called me. Christ is the wisdom who gave me the mind of Christ. Christ is. Christ destroys our wisdom. He gives us the mind of Christ. He becomes our wisdom. And it's not through preaching that blasphemes His name. It's not through preaching that tells you God's done all He can do, now it's up to you to do the rest. It's not preaching that says justification is through faith in Christ alone, but now sanctification is by a co-effort between you and Christ. No. That's blaspheming God's name. That's taking glory that belongs to Christ. He does this work through the preaching of the truth in spirit and in truth. Turn with me to Isaiah 52. This is the word of the Lord Himself, and I want you to see what He said. Isaiah 52. Listen to this. Verse 5. Isaiah 52, 5. Now therefore, what have I here, saith the Lord, that my people is taken away for naught? They that rule over them make them to howl, saith the Lord, and my name continually every day is blasphemed. Some of you were in that. Some of you were in preaching just like that. But look what Christ says He's going to do. Therefore, my people shall know my name. Therefore, they shall know in that day that I am He that doth speak. Behold, it is I. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of Him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that preaches the gospel of Christ in truth, and says, Thy God reigneth, Thy watchman shall lift up the voice. He's talking about Christ's watchman. They shall lift up the voice with the voice together. That means together with Christ's voice. That's how you're going to hear. As the gospel's going forth, you're hearing the words of a man, but it comes then together with Christ's voice, and He makes it effectual in the heart. Not an audible voice. It's a voice of the Spirit that teaches you this is true. This is true. And you have it. You know. Your conscience is saying, this is so. Because Christ is speaking in your conscience. And that's together with his preacher. And that means also all His preachers are going to be in agreement. We only have one gospel. We're born of one Spirit, so we're going to preach one message. Look here. They shall sing. They shall see eye to eye when the Lord shall bring again Zion. When did the Lord bring again Zion? That's when Christ arose and God gave Him all power in heaven and earth as the God-man to be the head of the church, to walk amongst the candlesticks and to teach us. Christ is saying, He said, here you got these people that are my people scattered about, and they're in these churches where they're whipping them and making them to howl, and they're in these churches where they're blaspheming my name. And He says, I'm going to send my preacher with my gospel, and they're going to know it's me that's speaking. And I'm going to bring them out. And they're going to hear this gospel and delight in it. And I'm going to free them from that. That's what Christ declares. Christ said, I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Christ is giving them. Do you think Christ gives a preacher who's a false preacher? Christ is giving them. Do you think Christ gives a preacher who's not after His heart? Christ is giving them. Do you think He's going to give a preacher which shall feed you with lies? No. He's giving the preacher that feeds you with knowledge and understanding. Hereby, this is why John said you can test a preacher. You can test a preacher as well as examining yourself. Here's why John said it. He said, hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth, that is, every preacher that publicly preaches everything there is to preach concerning Christ, that He's the one who God elected and elected a people in Him. That He came and redeemed a particular people, His elect, limited atonement He made by His blood. That He's the head who's working to send His preacher and call out His people. That He's coming again to judge this world in righteousness. He
He preached in truth. Every preacher that confesses publicly, not ashamed, that Christ is come, the Son of God, that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, that preacher is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not, that preacher who will tell you in private these things, but when he gets up to preach, he won't preach them. He'll put a work in the hand of the people. He'll shave off, take out the offense of the gospel. He says, that preacher is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof you've heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. So let me examine myself. If a preacher's message is so Antichrist that I departed from it because I can't sit under it any longer, I need to make a true examination. Did Christ send that preaching? Christ says He doesn't save through lies. He says He saves through the truth. Christ saved me by sending me the truth. That's what made me hate that message. That's what made me come out of that message. He sent me a preacher preaching the truth. And He saved me. Now, let me say this, because I was presented with this question when I was in California. A preacher can later be found out to be a reprobate and preach lies. But when Christ is using him, he will preach the truth. He will be preaching the truth. So you understand, a man may fall away later, but when Christ is using him, he's going to preach the truth. That's the man Christ sends. Now, three. Here's the third way to prove if I'm in the faith. God calls His child into the faith using a man who has no sufficiency in himself. Look at verse 26. 1 Corinthians 1:26. For you see your calling, brethren. Look around you, he's saying, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. There's a few. Paul was one, but even them, in them, they're made to know they don't have any sufficiency in themselves. They have no sufficiency to make anybody believe this gospel in themselves. None at all. Look at this. Why did God choose men like He did? God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God's chosen men who are nothing to confound the wise. God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are. Paul said the preacher Christ uses knows that he has no sufficiency in himself, but that all his sufficiency is of God. Paul said, though he said in 2 Corinthians 13:4, though Christ was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. And he said, we also shall live with Christ by the power of God. We're weak also in Christ, but we're going to live by the power of Christ towards you. And what he's saying there is, just like Christ was crucified through weakness, and God was his power and his strength, he's saying, so we're weak and have no sufficiency. The preacher has no sufficiency in himself, but all his sufficiency is Christ, his strength. That's his only sufficiency. He gives him the strength. Paul, and that's, you know what that does when Christ gives you this strength? Hold your place here in 1 Corinthians. Go to 2 Corinthians 4. I'll show you what it does for God's preacher. It does the same thing in the preacher as it does in the people. Look at this, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 1. Paul says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy. He's saying in the way we received mercy, that is, by the power of Christ sending this gospel to us and preaching the gospel in our heart. You remember, Christ called Paul on the road to Damascus and arrested him and put him in the dust. But then Christ sent Ananias, a man, to Paul. And Paul was laying flat on his back, and he sent a man to Paul. And Christ spoke to that man and said, arise and be baptized.
And he told him all the things Christ was going to do with him. He told him how he was the elect of Christ and showed him the salvation that's in Christ. And he taught him the gospel. And that's why Paul said, I was called not of a man, I was called by Christ. And that's true of every one of you, brethren. Though it was a man preaching, this is the way we receive mercy. Christ in power called us through this gospel. We know the sufficiencies of Christ. What does that make a man do? Look at verse 2. We've renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth. The truth. Commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. We're preaching and saying, you examine yourself. Is Christ speaking in you? We commend ourselves to every man's conscience. Is Christ speaking in your inner man? But if our gospel be hid, if there's anybody that this is hid from, they don't believe this, it's hid to them that are lost. And that's just plain and simple. Because this is what the power of God, power of Christ accomplishes. Them that this is hid from, they're those that are described over in Timothy when Paul said they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. Christ is the power that works. He's the sufficiency that calls His people. So that's why we preach only Christ and Him crucified, because He's the power that comes and calls out His people. The reason God uses this means, brethren, is so that we're brought to no longer glory in our flesh in what we did. And we glory only in the Lord. Now look at this. 1 Corinthians 1:29. Reason God uses these three means that we've seen. He uses preaching of Christ crucified, and He uses a man who has no sufficiency in himself, knows his sufficiency is Christ. Watch this, and here's why He does it. Verse 29, that no flesh should glory in His presence. Now here's what it is to be in the faith. Verse 30, but of God are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. You see, this means it's pleasing to God because it gives Christ all the glory. All the glory. As our prophet, priest, and king. Think about what's done through preaching. Every one of those offices is glorified in Christ. As the prophet, Christ is the one who teaches us effectually in our heart. That's what the prophet is, a teacher. And he teaches us in our heart effectually. And that glorifies Christ the prophet. Christ is our high priest. And He's glorified in preaching that is Christ in Him crucified. We preach Christ in Him crucified. We preach our great high priest. He's the subject of our message. So He's our righteousness who's made God and His people one by, through His blood. So that glorifies Him as our high priest. And then Christ is our king. You know what a king is? A king's sovereign. A king has all power over his kingdom. And Christ, the king, is glorified through this manner of preaching because he's not failing to bring his gospel to everybody he's going to save and to call them out of darkness and call them into the faith. He's not going to fail. He's all powerful to do it. He's all powerful to do it. I've told you this before. I have relatives that don't believe a man has to hear the gospel to be saved. And they always throw up this argument, what if a man's on a deserted island? Well, God tells us clearly, He landed Paul on a deserted island. He sent a hurricane, landed him on a deserted island. That's what He'll do. What if a man's in the middle of the desert? He'll send a Philip down there to him and ask him, do you know what you're reading? And he'll preach the gospel to him. Even the first believer, Abraham, you know what Galatians says? God preached the gospel to him. I don't know how. I don't know who he sent. He don't tell us, but he did. He preached the gospel to him. God saves through preaching.
He's saved through the preaching of the Word because it glorifies the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that means the man who's glorying and the man who claims to be saved another way, he's glorying in himself at whatever point that other way is. Whatever the point is that he disagrees with God on and says, I was saved another way, that's the point of his rebellion. Let me show you an example. If a man says, I wasn't saved through the preaching of Christ and Him crucified, I wasn't saved through the message you preach. I was saved through the message that declares Christ died for everybody. And that Christ will give you faith if you believe on Him by your will. You know what that man's glorying in? His works. His will and his works. His point of rebellion is he wasn't saved through Christ and Him crucified. The man who tells you he was saved by walking an aisle and praying through and all that, by the man who he's been made holy, by the man who preached law to him and mortified his flesh by the law, you know what he's glorying in? The man who had outward credentials and used high-pressure tactics and all these things, you know what that man's glorying in? He's glorying in outward appearance. He's glorying in his own power rather than the sufficiency of Christ. And the man who says he was saved apart from hearing Christ preached at all, apart from preaching at all, that man is glorying in his own wisdom, in his own searching. And he's just as guilty as the man who's glorying in his works and saying, I believe Christ died for everybody. Just as guilty. Only the man who confesses he was saved by God's way, by God's power in Christ, through a man with no sufficiency, a man who was trusting Christ to call him, that man glories only in the Lord. That's a man who's in the faith. So lastly now, let's sum up what it is to be in the faith. First of all, to be in the faith is to have nothing about myself to glory in. Absolutely nothing. He said that no flesh shall glory in His presence. That's why He saves this way. To be in the faith is to be in Christ by God, by His electing power and grace, is to be in Christ, by God choosing me. He said, of God are you in Christ. To be in the faith is for God, through the preaching of the gospel, to make Christ my all. He makes Christ wisdom rather than my own experience and my own understanding and my own prudence being my wisdom. He makes Christ my wisdom. Christ is my justification given freely through faith rather than any works I've done. He makes Christ my holiness. And that holiness was given me through the hearing of faith, not through the hearing of Christ's faith, not through the hearing of works that I must do. Christ was formed in me through the hearing of faith, and He became my holiness, my sanctifier and my sanctification, so that I'm holy now. I'm fit to enter into glory. I have the holiness without which no man shall see God. I have Christ formed in me, the hope of glory. He's my all in holiness. And then we have Christ as my full redemption from the curse of the law. I'm not trying to get free of the law anymore. I've been set free from it. The law can't say a word to me anymore. The law says I'm as holy and righteous as God is holy and righteous. To be in the faith is truly to believe and rest from all my works, glorying only in the Lord for all salvation. And to be in the faith is to genuinely lay down my life in love for my brethren, from the heart, constrained by Christ's love for me. To be in the faith is to confess, I was saved God's way. Through the preaching of Christ and Him crucified, and through a man who had no sufficiency, Christ was the power who called me. Not high-pressure tactics, not making deals with me, not taking the offense out of the gospel.
Christ in power came through an insufficient, weak vessel and saved me. Paul didn't tell the Corinthians to examine themselves because he was fearful that they were going to be find out they were all unbelievers. He didn't do it because of that. They had to be made to confess they were not of certain men. They had to be made to repent from that. They had to be made to repent that they weren't saved of Christ without the preaching of the gospel. Paul's the one God sent to them. They had to be made to confess that this division they had created and all these things they were doing from a wicked heart was not of God, and had to be made to repent from that, turn from that. But he was not telling them to examine themselves because he thought they were not in the faith. He thought they were. He said, you're going to find, I trust you're going to find, we're not reprobates. And you're not reprobates. The only way you'd know that, he wouldn't have told them to examine themselves if he thought they were all lost, because a lost man can't examine himself and know the truth, know Christ is in him. He can't do it. Only the believer can. He wasn't saying that he didn't think they had doubts and misgivings. When you're in the faith, that's when you start to doubt yourself and have misgivings and wonder, am I really a child of God? The unbeliever doesn't do that. The unbeliever looks at what he's done and says, oh yes, I got to be a child of God. Look how good I am. Not the believer. The believer says, look at what a wretch I am. How could I possibly be Christ's child? That's faith. That's having faith. To hate yourself. And the more you see of yourself, the more you abhor yourself, and the more you depend on Christ for all. It's not a feeling. It's not an intellectual assent. It's having Christ for your all. Even when I don't feel like I'm believing on Christ, even when I am going through darkness and depression and all the different things we go through, in my heart of hearts, I still know Christ is all. I have nothing else but Christ. That's being in the faith. That's being in the faith. So as Lamentations 3:40 says, let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. Colossians 1:19. Go there with me. And we'll end with this. Colossians 1:19. Everywhere you read Paul, you're not going to go very far without hearing Paul say something about this preaching of the gospel. Colossians 1:19. And he always includes all this work that I just talked about. Colossians 1:19. Let me show you this first. Look at verse 9. Verse 8. He says, Epaphras declared unto us your love in the Spirit. And he says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard, do not cease to pray for you and desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will and His all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And that's not what I was looking for. All right, verse 3. We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints. See that? That's Paul Johnson. That's how we know. We believe on Christ, trust Him alone, and we love one another. Look down now at verse 19. For it pleased the Father that in Christ should all fullness dwell, having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself. By Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And then this is how Christ has all fullness. You that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable, unreprovable in His sight if you continue in the faith. See that? He called them into the faith and made them in their heart be reconciled to God. He reconciled them on the cross, but then He calls you and makes you be reconciled in the heart. And how does He do that? If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you've heard, which was preached to every creature which is under heaven. You know what that means? Which was preached to every one of God's elect, Jew and Gentile, all over the world. This is how God saves. Whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. That's how you know, brethren, if you're in the faith. So examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not that Christ is in you, except you be counterfeit? This is how I was saved, by whom I was saved, in whom I was saved. I'm in the faith. It boils down to this. Is Christ all your hope? Is He all your hope? If so, you're in the faith. Amen. Let's stand together. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for giving us a new heart through Your Gospel and calling us to the feet of Christ. We're thankful that in all of this that You've done for us, Christ gets all the glory. And we don't have room to boast in our flesh anymore. Lord, that's how we want it now. That we didn't when we were lost, but now we do. We want Christ to have all the glory. Lord, make every believer truly repent from anything that's false. Let go of all experiences and just count everything in the past to be done. And make us really and truly trust You and how You save and in Christ whom You save. And make us truly believe on You. And Lord, don't let us wait till that day when we're really and truly going to stand before God. And then we'll take this serious. Then we'll find out that we were holding on to a lie if that were the case. Lord, make us now to let go of it. Make us truly cling only to Christ. We pray for our brethren who are sick, and we pray for them everywhere. We pray for those who are out of work. We pray for those who are going through various kinds of trials. Lord, we know You're going to do right by them, and we know You're going to glorify Your name and edify them. We pray, Lord, all these things. Thank You for this place. Thank You for this gospel. Thank You for this people, every house represented here. Thank You for those that are not present with us today that couldn't be here because of the snow. Lord, we pray You keep them and bless all of them. In Christ's precious name we pray. Amen. All right, Brother Art.